Brothers and sisters, I'm sure you've sensed this with every part of your being, that after the death of Shahid Qasim Soleimani and Shahid Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, things started to change very rapidly in the world. You could feel it, you could see it. You're watching events after events after events. And then now, after the murder of George Floyd, again, you're seeing things are really picking up. So it's a unique opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented to you and I. Allah wanted that before the Imam returned, you and I take on the challenge of systematic racism in America. The black people have been growing and have been enduring systemic racism for 400 years. This isn't new. Now, for some of my non-African American brothers and sisters, they know, well, what is it like to live under systemic racism? What does it do to you, to your perception about yourself, to your perception about the police, to your perception about those who are indifferent to your struggle? So, brothers and sisters, just so we can get a picture, a little bit about what this is, you and I all witness George Floyd get murdered on camera. It was videotaped.
What do you want? I can't breathe.
There were police officers standing there keeping people away as this man, for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, a knee was on his neck and he was begging for his life. And all people were doing was watching, begging, entreating the police to let him go. After that happened, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. People started protesting, they started rioting. Not only that, the world got upset. Capitals around the world, people marching. It's not okay. You can't do that to anybody. Racial discrimination is not allowed for anybody. People marching globally. Here in America, America on fire. When that happened, what happened? More police brutality. You're seeing what the police state is like. What is the police state like? People brave bullets, rubber bullets, beating, savagery. And they said, no, enough is enough. They came out into the streets. After that, the police still didn't stop. You see them shooting reporters, blinding reporters, arresting reporters on TV. This is the savagery of America.
You are watching our correspondent, Omar Jimenez, being arrested.
Brothers and sisters, keep this in mind. Keith Ellison, the attorney general in Minnesota, is black and a Muslim, Keith Ellison. Ilhan Omar is from Minnesota. Global protest, this country burning. They finally arrested the police officers, maybe the one who had his knee on the man's neck in front of everyone. Maybe he'll be charged with second degree murder. Maybe. Qualified immunity, police unions. What is it like? What are we up against? Now, still, the world is moving towards the coming of the Imam of the time, brothers and sisters. The masses of the world have realized you can't be indifferent to oppression. You can't just watch. You have to demand justice. The masses have realized you can't beg a tyrant for your lawful rights. That's what George Floyd did. Begging the tyrant doesn't work. You have to demand your rights from that tyrant. Now, knowing a little bit about what systemic racism is, what can we learn from the life of Imam Khomeini that will empower us to do this mission that we have and restore dignity to the oppressed? But not only the oppressed here, brothers and sisters, to liberate the globe. Brothers and sisters, there were three beliefs, you could say, three views that Imam Khomeini held. And those views that Imam Khomeini held made him able to take on unbelievable challenges. One of them was he had unwavering belief in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unwavering belief. Number two was that Imam Khomeini believed in the masses of the mu'mineen. He believed in the people. Others had written the people off. He wasn't deceived by the outward appearances, the mistakes that the mu'mineen had made. He believed in the believers. As Allah says in the Holy Quran, Surah 9, verse number 61, يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ, He describes our Prophet in this way, يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ, He believes in Allah, وَيُؤْمِنُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and trust the mu'mineen. Imam Khomeini had these two wonderful characteristics, but that wasn't it. He had another characteristic, another belief that he held that made him a giant killer. Like Nabi Dawood, he could take on Goliath. What was that other belief of Imam Khomeini? Imam Khomeini, may Allah have mercy on his soul, believed in himself and his ability to get the job done with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was an embodiment of that verse of the Quran where Allah says in the Quran, La yukallif Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. We're capable. He revived Islam. He gave us as a Muslim ummah, a sense of ummah. He gave karama to the oppressed. Imam Khomeini's mission was not only to give karama to Iran or just the Muslims, but the mustadhafin and the earth. Those of you who remember the slogans of Imam Khomeini about those who are barefoot and downtrodden. You remember the slogans of Imam Khomeini. The students of Imam Khomeini, people like Shahid Qasim Soleimani or Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, they died trying to realize this goal of giving karama to the oppressed. Do you remember what Imam Khamenei said after Shahid Qasim Soleimani was murdered? He said, the mission of the Quds Force is to protect the karama of the oppressed. Let me give you a couple of examples of what the degradation that was there in Iran, so you can see why it is that Muslims around the world, the people of the world, feel for the African Americans. What was Iran like? Once the Minister of Education in Iran had a ceremony in a school called Madrasa Refah in Iran, famous school. And he invited a local American official to attend the ceremony. The Minister of Education is not only leading the ceremonies, he even arranged a number of chairs that are there, the people, the guests are supposed to sit on. And he counted out the chairs carefully. He counted himself as a guest, and he made sure there was enough chairs for their guests. What he forgot was that the dog of the American official should have a chair. So the dog had a chair, and the Minister of Education in Iran stood in front of all those students. Iran was so weak and despicable that in the time of the Shah, you may look this up in history, there was something called the Tehran Conference. Stalin, Roosevelt, Churchill, the big three, they came to Iran. They held a conference in Iran, the Tehran Conference. They didn't get permission to enter. They never showed a passport. They didn't even go visit the Shah. The Shah came to see them. They wouldn't get up out of respect for the Shah. Iran was so weak and powerless. They were importing shovel handles and sewing needles. So when you look now at the advances of the system of wilaya, the system of the Mahdi, and you see what it can do, and you tell the world, know what the Iranians were like, how degraded they were. So now, having said that, how would you, Imam Khomeini, want you and I, as his students, to look at this opportunity to take on global systemic racism here in America, to the African American community, but all over the world? The rest of the world, the cries of I can't breathe, are the people in America are saying them. The rest of the world, that's the heart, their words. The knee is still on their neck. 400 years. What would Imam Khomeini want us to do? A couple of lessons from Imam Khomeini. Number one, Imam Khomeini wants you to take ownership and consider yourself responsible for liberating the oppressed here and the oppressed around the globe, to take personal ownership. Imam Khomeini, one of the verses he loved to quote was this verse, Surah 34, verse number 46. God says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدًا. I only advise you to do one thing. أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ. That you stand, you rise, you do qiyam for Allah, matna wa furada, whether it be in twos or whether it be by yourself, to personally take ownership of this. Number two, Imam Khomeini called a spade a spade. Imam Khomeini would denounce things. The Shah, the Savak, they gathered some of the ulama and they explained to them that there are three areas that you can't touch. They told them, don't say anything bad about Israel. Don't talk about the Shah. And don't say Islam is in danger. Imam Khomeini got wind of this. Imam Khomeini said, if we don't talk about this, what else is there to discuss? Then he went to Vaidhiya. Then he spoke about the Shah. And you can see the videos of what Imam Khomeini said. Call a spade a spade. Talk about it. Talk about systematic racism. Declare that it exists and that it's wrong. And also say that racism exists amongst Muslims. Not systematic racism. What's the Islamic solution? Rasulullah taught us in the last of his khutbas, khutbatul wada, Ya ayyuhan nas. أيها الناس إن ربكم واحد. People, your Lord is one. وإن أباكم واحد. And your father is one. لا فضل لعربي على عجمي. There is no merit that an Arab holds over a non-Arab. ولا لعجمي على عربي. More that a non-Arab holds over an Arab. ولا لأحمر على الأسود. More that a white holds over a black. ولا لأسود على الأحمر. على أحمر إلا. The taqwa, the only distinction is God consciousness. In Islam, we do see race, brothers and sisters, but we see it as it is in the ayat of the Quran. It's one of the signs of Allah, our tongues, our languages that we speak, the colors that we have, the shapes that we have, the texture of our skin. Allah explains this to us, Surah 30, verse number 22. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. So among the signs of God, خلق السماوات والأرض, creation of the heavens and the earth, واختلاف ألسنتكم وألوانكم, the idea that you speak different languages, you have different colors. God made us, He says in the Quran, Surah Hujurat, وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل. We made you into nations and tribes. Why? لتعارفوا. You should know each other. Inna akramakum indallah atqakum. There's no distinction between anyone. The person who is the best of you is the person who has taqwa. Number four, one of the tests, brothers and sisters, one of the areas that you see Muslims flounder in when it comes to racism, when it's home, is in the issue of marriage. In Islam, lesson from Imam Khomeini, we should consider others our family. Maybe you've seen this video of Imam Khomeini, where he explains, he says that the same love that we have for Iran, we have for Iraq. They are our people. He says, if we love Iran, it's because of Islam. If we love Iraq, it's because of Islam. The Imam over there, Islam. Talk about the system of Pharaoh, brothers and sisters. Don't shy away from this as well. You see, brothers and sisters, there's a beautiful statement. Again, Imam Khomeini, right? He would refocus the attention of the people on the Taghut himself. He used to say, as they say in Farsi, Harche faryad darid bar sar amrika bekeshid. You take it back to the source, to the root, to the Taghut himself. Malcolm X, he said this, if you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, that's not progress. If you pull it all the way out, That's not progress. Progress is healing the wound that made the blade. If these cops get a slap on the wrist, if there were just laws here in America, if black people were treated equally, would that be it? Is that progress? If black people get their rights, the 400 years of oppression, why is it that black people are part of the police force? Why is it my grandfather died in Vietnam? What did the Vietnamese do? The oppression of the American administration, the peoples of the world still have the knee on their neck. That's why the people marched. If you looked at the protests globally, they marched on the U.S. embassies in many countries, the consulate. They're furious. It's the system of Yazid and Fir'aun. And until you fix that system, the problem continues. The call of the people, if you look at the non-Muslims who are talking about this issue, with their fitrah, they don't know the hadith, they don't know the ayat. With their fitrah, they're calling for imam. This is up to you and I now to use that creativity to bring them to the system, take them away from the system of Yazid. They're saying, our leaders need to be accountable. We need just laws, that laws apply to everybody. Question, if just laws are made, who's going to enforce them? The same police? If you punish the police force, what about the tawaghit who rule? Those who make the policies, qualified immunity, who made that? What idiot would think that fixing, reforming the police force will resolve this issue? The only solution is God and educating the people, our neighbors, who are good people. This is how the system of Fir'aun works. This is Surah 43, verse number 54. God says this about the politics of Pharaoh. فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ. He stupefied his people. فَأَطَعُوا. And then they obeyed him. It's up to us to reverse this, to explain to people. They're calling out for imamah. It takes bravery for Muslims to come out and say that the solution is this. God gave dignity to man.